I'm so appreciative to be able to be here and to introduce Jim Coleman to you. You may remember when I was sharing my testimony, I shared this story I'm going to tell you now just briefly. We had a circle of campuses. I woke up one day as a pastor of a church and I was getting involved in Ellsworth Junior College, starting to learn what campus ministry was all about. And it just so happened that I looked and I had a perfect circle of campuses, 50 miles away, each one of them. Iowa State University and Mason City Junior College in Northern Iowa and Marshalltown Community College. And I was starting groups in each of these campuses. And I was a traveling preacher, just having a great time. But Marshalltown wasn't too good. We just would go down there day after day and get two people. And the best excitement we had all year was two Mormon elders were brought. And I had fun with those guys. No trouble at all. And that was about the most exciting thing that happened the whole year. And then one day, Jim brought a college student with him. Jim had just gotten out of the military in Vietnam and had brought this other college student with him to our study. And we didn't have many people out, but I had the opportunity to share Christ with Jim. More than I thought. I didn't realize I had preached quite so much to him, and he told me later. But the next week, we came down and we'd had a retreat in between, and Jim had come to the retreat and had gotten saved on his way home that night, actually, and looking up at the sky and saying, well, who's speaking to me now? And he trusted Christ that day. And the next week, we came down to that Bible study in a room. Just about three quarters of this room was packed. Now, can you imagine that? Two guys brought that many people out to Bible study. And I said, well, obviously, we're not going to have our regular campus Bible fellowship meeting, so I'll tell you what, I'll answer your questions, and we'll go from there. And we went 4 hours, and we had revolving doors, really, because they were going and coming. They'd go to class and then get a bunch of guys and bring them back. And it just kept pouring in. It was like nothing you've ever seen. And so it was really one of those exciting times that you have out of your whole life. And then for Jim to get saved and go on with the Lord and now be a minister right up here in the next town up and starting a church from scratch. And we have about 100 people, Jim, now. And so he's been faithful to that church, and he's had me up there and preached several times, and it's just great to have him here today among us. And you might greet him. He's been here before, I guess, and days gone by, right, Jim? I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of John and chapter 18. And I need something to hold, something here. A little pulpit like.
This work for
me? Yeah, that'll work. Let me just have it in front of me. Oh, that'll work. I think it's John chapter 18. What's his name? No, I can't say it. In the Bible business, comes here. He gave us some Bibles for my Bible study I have at the old age home, and that studies up and down every time we have a break, and I have a break once a month. I don't preach. Seems like that's the next week is when we're down. We'll have three or four, but we had about 15 last week. And won a couple people, not to the Lord necessarily, but to at least my cause of having a Bible study. And so we have a Bible study every Sunday, and it's coming around slowly. I call on one family, I tell them I'm making a pastoral call on them. And I met him when I first got there. He was a softball player and a football player, and we just tied up with backgrounds. And so now I'm calling on him, making pastoral calls about once every 2 weeks. And then I called him a lady the other day. She didn't need me. She was Roman Catholic, and someone told me that she was really hurting, and could I go see her? And I said, well, I'll make it a point to go see her. So I went to the other part of our building, and here she was up and running around the place. Oh, I'm a Catholic, and I don't need anybody praying for me. I said, maybe you do. You never know. And I said, I'd like to pray with you at least. Well, okay. I got to pray for her. So you never know. And then the other night, a gal, one of the workers, I got witnessing to, and boy, she was ready. I can't say I led her to Christ because somebody else had already preached to her. And she was ready to accept Christ as Savior. And the first real soul that's been saved that I know of since we started our ministry. A little different than campus work was. Campus work was exciting. It was going all the time. And so anyhow, we got these Bibles given to us, and I switched around, and I was going to go back to my other Bible and preach, but I can get a Bible out and write in front of me and forget that I was going to do it. So it has a problem for me several times. Right now, I'm having a hard time finding the text I want. I am the way, the truth, the life. That was John 18. Anybody know what verse that is?
John 14, 6.
No, that's not the one I'm thinking about.
That is the one.
14, 6. All right, mixed up here. All right. Well, let's start reading with verse 1. Jesus is saying, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now I want to apologize for being old, I guess. But I had a spell once upon a time. I was preaching at Cedarville College, and they were having a big missions conference, and I was the featured speaker. I was to speak three times, and I had pretty good liberty the first two times. And the third message, I could not seem to get ready. Now, you know what a preacher's main problem of preaching is? Knowing what to preach. Knowing what to preach. And I have wrestled with messages like crazy here, like I did back then. And back then, I never did get ready. I went down and shot a few hoops to get limbered up, you know, and wake up and try and get ready. I prayed like crazy. And I never did get ready. That was one of the biggest eggs I ever laid. And it was a big flop, probably for 400 people. And I felt that way almost this way. This time, as you can tell, I don't even know where the text is. A text like John 14:6, I've known since I was a new Christian. And but I do have some notes, and I want to use them as best as possible. And I've prepared them so that you have them and can follow as well. Couldn't ask for a better text to which to refer. And so I want to go there and preach. I do need my glasses, so I'll get ready yet here. Maybe be ready to preach yet after all. But take a look at that verse and just think your way through it a minute and ask yourself, what does that verse mean? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So it has some real meaning to us, and I want to share it with you as best I can this morning. First of all, when you think of a person being the way, what in the world does that mean? How can a person be a way? But yet that's what Jesus says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So first of all, we have a person being involved. Jesus says, I personally am the way. That's amazing. What do you think the disciples must have thought at that time? A person? He's the way? Well, sure he is. And so I've got down here, a person is involved, and only a person can take away hearts. Heart troubles. A person has problems, maybe with a wife, maybe with a husband, maybe with kids. Oh, so hard. My dad, I almost got sent to the reformatory one time. And my dad, whom I worried about being hurt the most, I hurt my dad. And that's the way we have to recognize when Jesus says he's the way, he means he as a person is the only way. The thing is that he is a person, and we have to recognize that as we think of a person taking away somebody's troubles, someone's concerns, someone's sins. Jesus is going to take away our sins, at least the penalty to them. And in the ultimate, he's going to take away everything in the way of the sin, isn't he? And we have to recognize that only he can do this, but he can do it. That's what he is saying to us. We need to come to him as a person to deal with problems that we have in our heart. And it's only a person that can make and keep promises. I mean, for a person to tell you that I'm going to take away your sins, what, a person? How can a person do that? You got to have religion. I've run into that at the nursing home. I'm a Methodist. I don't sing songs except the Methodist songs. Well, just because this is a Baptist hymnal, that's no reason you can't sing a song. But that's the way it is. And I got to understand that I got to get this across to people. Jesus says that he's going to take care of us, and only a person can make that kind of promises. Believe in me, he says. Well, that's a promise, isn't it? He says as well, I go to prepare a place for you. Wow, what promises. That's something. And I will come again and receive you to myself. And so we have that last one that we're really standing on because he could come any moment, couldn't he? And so he gives us these promises because he is a person and the only person. Only a person uses a personal pronoun some 73 times in this text. Isn't that amazing? 73 times? He's making promises to us. You think he's going to fulfill them? I do. I am solidly standing on his promises. We could have sung that song this morning very well. Standing on the promises. But he also, there's a purpose involved. He says he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's a way, the only way to heaven. A place can be an imagination, can be a figure of speech, it can be a literal place. Which do you believe? Which do you believe? Is he going to come to us and take us to a literal place? I believe he is, because that's what he says he's going to do. He is the way as a place to heaven. And so we need to recognize this. And where he is now, we are going to be. That's an amazing promise, an amazing place that we're going to be invited, well, we've been invited to be. And Thomas replied that they didn't know where or the way to this place that Jesus was talking about. But Jesus answered by saying that he is the place and the only place that you can have your sins forgiven. The only place where you can have your troubles removed. The only place where you can find a way to live and have something worth living. Jesus Christ says he is the way. He's the truth as well as a foundation. A foundation for life, as a standard for education, as a basis for morality. And we need to recognize that he, Jesus, is telling the disciples, I've got a great foundation for you if you'll just make it that in your life. As the place that he has prepared for us, and we can build a complete lifestyle on making Jesus our leader and following him. I heard someone say the other day that there's just nothing in religion that's worth following. That's right, in religion. But there is in following Jesus. And when I talk to people, I don't talk to them about a religion, Methodist, Baptist, whatever it is. It's Jesus Christ I want to talk to them about, because that's what they need, because he is the only one that can make a life. Can you start as a young man like this and make a life out of it? Well, I have my son to bring before you and say he got saved when he's 5 years old. And he's followed Christ better than I ever thought of following. He's taken his life. And it just, he says to me, Dad, you can always sing a Christian song when you're meditating, you know, and I was telling him about meditating and preparing. You can always sing a Christian song. I said, I know that's enough, actually, a lot of times. But he started out as a young kid. And I get some bad thoughts from my past life, you know. And I have to shake my head and say, Lord, here we go again. But Tom, he has temptations in life, no doubt about that. But you can take your life and just say, God. And so he didn't try and make sports his way. In fact, he wouldn't have made it. He went out for basketball, and God showed him he couldn't make the team. He was too little. And I went to that game, and I sat there and watched him sit on the bench. I said, Tom, I can't take this. I said, I went through this myself, thinking I was better than some of the guys on the floor. And I sat collecting splinters. I collected an awful lot of splinters in my lifetime. And Tom wasn't going to do that either. And so he went off to Bible school, not to college or university. He went to Bible school. And he just made everything come back to Jesus Christ. And I'm glad I can talk about him, because he made so many decisions on his own, not because Dad told him, but because he believed in Jesus. And he was going to follow Jesus. And he comes over to visit me, and every once in a while he'll say, oh yeah, Dad, I remember that series of messages you preached. And I say, well, I'm glad for that. But that's what Jesus is. Jesus is the way, very definitely, and he is the truth that we can start with just from life itself, and he is the life. In regard to the meaning of life, it's understandable. In regard to the satisfaction in life, and in regard to the conclusion of life, wow, what can you have better than that for a life? And I can say for the years I lived, I got saved when I was 21, and I've followed Christ ever since. But just think, all those things, the meaning of life, the satisfaction of life, in life, and the conclusion of life. And there's just no doubt about it. We have some wonderful verses. In him was life, and the life was the life of men, the light of men. And he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son does not have life. John 10:10, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. In John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. Just think, Jesus is that foundation. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's how we come to a meaning in life and one that's worth the living, isn't it? And I've been so happy all my life when I went back to my hometown and told people how I was saved, and boy, they couldn't believe it. But I majored on one thing, and that was Jesus Christ. And I looked at an old-time quote that a gal made of me. She said she thought Hal Miller was the most outstanding graduate of the class. I wasn't by any means. But I was in Jesus, in the change, that's for sure. He made such a change in me that gal was able to say that of me. Jesus can make a change like that, can't he? And so these things happen. And we need to recognize these things as coming. But there's also a principle involved as well as a person and a purpose. The principle involved, no man comes to the Father but by me. Now, wait a minute. That's pretty close, pretty tight to say you can't go to heaven unless you have Jesus as your Savior. What's going to happen to the millions of people that don't have Jesus as Savior? Well, it's very clear. It's very clear they're going to have to be judged. After death, the judgment, the Bible says. So we have to recognize that there's no other possibility. And Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or else Lord of all. You've heard that before, haven't you? But that's true. He's the only way. There's no other way. And I've had to shake my head and pray for my relatives and loved ones. God, I don't know where they're at. I don't know whether they're in heaven or not. The best thing I had from my dad was when he was unconscious and dying, he blinked his eyes when I asked him if he was saved. And I thought that he must have heard me somehow or another. Who knows? He couldn't finish the fifth grade. His mother died. He went on the road, learned to drive just about everything, had wheels. But he worked 12 hours a day, raised 5 kids, and had problems with them. And with me, like you heard earlier, but the thing is, now where is that guy? I'd like to think the blinking of his eyes led him to Christ, you know, that he did hear me other times that I talked with him. But I don't really know. I can't really say one way or another. And my mother died long before I ever got saved, that's for sure. But lo and behold, I switched churches and I started going to a Baptist church and discovered that my family went to that church before I was born. And I knew there were people praying for me, no doubt about that. But to think, where are some of these people? My loved ones, my mother. Did she maybe make a decision back there sometime? Well, she had to have. to be in heaven. That's all there is to it. And same way with my dad, same way with my brother. My brother I'm sure of, but they did go to church and they went to a gospel preaching church, that's for sure. That's the church I later joined. It was just right in our neighborhood. I was almost ashamed to go to that church because it was run by a bunch of farmers that didn't know enough to put bulbs in the neon lights that said Walnut Street Baptist Church. Didn't know enough to fix the sidewalks that went like this. And I'm raised in that neighborhood, and I didn't think much of that church, to tell you the truth. And now I'm joining that church and fixing up the windows and things to surprise the pastor when he comes back from a trip. trying to make a change. Now that church has this beautiful gymnasium and a whole new building, and it's going well for the Lord. I'm thankful that I joined it and helped what little I did when I come back from seminary at times. And when I'd go back to my hometown, I'd always preach at that church. But at least that church preached that Jesus was the way. I got answers from that church. I left my church, had a wonderful pastor who, as far as calling, making you feel like $1 million, when he was in and out in 5 minutes. My preacher would stay for an hour, teach me the Bible. But that was more for me. That's what I decided on. So I went to seminary. And the Lord called me and went to ministry to realize that people needed Jesus. And people are getting saved in churches that preach the gospel, not to just hold to certain beliefs, but they need to be preaching the gospel. Amen. And they need to be active in winning souls. And I got a guy, he calls himself my grandpa. He says, I'm his grandpa because I led his brother to Christ and he led him to Christ. He started 4 churches at one time recently. 4 churches. Man, I couldn't do that. I didn't have that kind of success in my ministry. Now he's starting another church. He's thinking about going with that church and standing as pastor of that new church in the Des Moines area. He's started almost a whole denomination, you know. I think it's about 6 churches he started. And then I visited a church in Des Moines, West Des Moines, where my daughter goes. And man, that's an E-free church. But the pastor started that church when, I think, 33 years ago. And he still is pastoring that church and preaching the gospel. They got so many people, they don't know what to do with them. They built, now catch this, they built a recreation center and gave it to the city. Have you ever heard that before? Man, I never did. And the people are just alive. And the preacher preaches the gospel, of course. He did that morning I was there. And man alive, that's the kind of church you want to go to, regardless of the name on the service. I'm a Baptist, and I'm not ashamed of it, but Baptists are different. There's no doubt about that. Each church is different. But I'm a Baptist, and I'm so thankful for what the Baptists have done. But would you believe my seminary, when I went to, closed its doors just recently. Closed its doors. And here, I remember the day when I went to that school, and then later on it moved its place into a big former Catholic institution, and they had a picture of the student body. 450 some people dedicated to the ministry of Jesus Christ. And I mean, everybody was alive for that ministry. Now, I was a basketball player, and I didn't mean to do this, but just as we had recreation, you know, it was fun, and we had some good ball players there. And so we started a basketball team. And we would play the Salvation Army one day, and the junior college that was national champion, the next day. And they only beat us by 9 points. And we didn't have a coach, we didn't have any practice or anything. And we gave them a hard time. But I didn't mean to start something that was going to eventually be led into something that would maybe lead to the downfall of the school. The presidents that came to that school somehow got the idea they wanted to make that a Bible college and not push the seminary part, not push the ministry part, but just push the getting free of things. They didn't have any street meetings like we used to have. They didn't have a lot of things that I'd like to have seen. And I'm sorry to say, the guy who became the president, the last president, was the guy that accepted Christ when I was preaching one day. And he was a good Christian. And wonderful people came out of that school. All missionaries all over the world. But they lost the zeal of ministry, of everyday ministry. And I'm not knocking lay people now, don't misunderstand me. I'm trying to build up lay people to say, you can become the witness that God wants you to be and nourish a church and build a church so it's what it should be. But it won't be what it should be unless you tell Jesus about tell people about Jesus. It's just a simple matter. You have to open your big mouth and tell people something about Jesus like I didn't even know I was doing with Jim. And that's the way you see results. You have to have lay people in the church witnessing. You can't just expect the preacher to be a great minister, as great as some of these guys can be. They have to build people that will be witnesses in the church. And that way a church can grow. And we need this understanding that Jesus Christ is everything he claims to be. And one that comes to him as the only way, and that Christians must believe and practice this rationale. You have to believe in Jesus, and you have to share that message with other people.
Hallelujah.
Let's bow in prayer, please. Father, I thank you again for the opportunity to share this message of Jesus Christ. He's so real, so wonderful, God, that there's no problem in me coming to a conclusion of my life, saying that my life has been worth it, that it was worth being sold out to Jesus Christ and to have him as not only Savior, but Lord and Master and God, the one that I can pray to right now. And here he will hear my message and hear what I have as a need. And God will take me to be where I belong for all eternity, because I have him as my personal Savior and Lord. Thank you for this opportunity. We pray for each person in this room now that you'll minister to them in the way that only you can, as your Holy Spirit promises to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.